Welcome to the IT Babble podcast, where we talk about educational technology and a whole lot more. You can find our podcast on iTunes, please subscribe, or your very favorite podcasting app. Also, you can find our blog at www.itbabble.com. Welcome back, everybody. It's the IT Babble podcast. Now, you out there in Radio Land are probably thinking, man, I can't wait for 150. What do they have in store for 150? Well, joke's on you, fools. We're not at 150 yet. We are, what, 149.5. And of course,
that's right.
And of course, I'm joined with Tony. Tony, can you explain to our audience why we're at 149.5?
Because Omar couldn't wake up. So we decided to have like 149.5 and reschedule 150 on a day that we know Omar will wake up from his nap.
Yeah, you know, and we had been planning 150 just to let people know that this wasn't like the day before. We're like, hey, Omar, are you free tomorrow? We want to record. This was like almost 2 weeks in the planning, you know? So he was like, yes, I'm on board. He even added items to the agenda, and then something came up and he couldn't make it, and so we rescheduled. So we have a kind of a light episode today.
Okay. Just two topics.
Well, three if you count. Well, I guess we talked about Omar, didn't we? So that's about it. Yeah. So let's get into our first topic, our first real topic. Every now and again, I'll read this blog, Dangerously Irrelevant, by Dr. Scott McCloud. And he's good. He has some really it's not so much about educational technology. He's really big about leadership. And about being a responsible leader, and of course he's a proponent for EdTech. But anyway, he will often put like a quote up there or something he sees on Twitter or you know, just a segment of an article, and he won't do anything else. He'll just put that up there, and then he lets people go to town in the comments. And so this one that he did is called "The Real Reason We Ban Cell Phones." And that's it. And we got a link to it in the show notes, of course. But it's just he says, if you're hold on here, blah blah blah. It says Mark Prinsky said, and I'm not sure who Mark Prinsky is. He goes, let's admit that the real reason we ban cell phones, and this is just a quote that he put via Listen to the Natives. Let's admit the real reason we ban cell phones is that given the opportunity to use them, students would vote, quote, this is quote, vote with their attention, just as adults, quote, vote with their feet by leaving the room when a presentation is not compelling. Why shouldn't our students have the same option with their education when educators fail to deliver compelling content? And he does comment a little bit on there. He's like, not sure I buy into the idea that the educator should be, quote, delivering content, no matter how compelling, but I like the quote, anyone else besides me want to admit that if you had mobile phones and social media when you were a kid, you would have tried to escape your boring classrooms too. And then we've got comments below. Tony, what do you think of the comment? Not all of them are, but a majority of them are on one particular side. And Tony, what side would you think that they are on?
I think that they're all basically like the people who are for and against it. They both are like completely missing the point. It's hard to explain. It's like listening to two people argue about something and not actually understand what they're arguing about. So first off, this whole thing with teenagers and like cell phones, this has nothing to do with voting with your feet. The children are addicted to entertainment and they can't stop looking at it. And I've been collecting as much data as possible on this at my schools for a long time now. And how do I collect data? Initially, I don't restrict anything. I've talked about that. I let them use it and see what happens. And then if they're on the Wi-Fi network, we can, and they sign in, you know, we can see what they're doing. And you're like, you can't see what they're doing. It's like, you're right. I can't read what they're writing, but I can see where they're going. So like, I found the kid a few weeks ago and he doesn't even have his phone. It was just, Facebook on the browser. Okay, so Facebook on the phone or any social media on the phone, it's way more fun, right?
I mean, yeah.
You agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So in the less engaging space, I calculated that in one day, this kid did 2,200 Facebook page views.
Wow.
2,200. Now, I based that off the amount of data he used on Facebook and how big the average page was. And, I asked him, I'm like, do you do a lot of video on Facebook? He's like, no, I just look at pictures and I scroll and read comments and chat. So, and then I asked him, well, tell me, like, what was the big topic yesterday? I have no idea. He couldn't even remember what he read. And that's the problem. And then, in Asia, like, if you think the U.S. is bad, Asia's got it all, man. WeChat, KakaoTalk, Line.
Yeah.
These social media platforms in Asia, they're the real deal. They make Facebook and WhatsApp look like children's toys.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I have kids on Kakao and WeChat. They're like online shopping during class. They're buying like hats or socks, you know. They're addicted to shopping. They're addicted to scrolling. They're addicted to games. They love that feedback loop. And they can't stop. I mean, you're like, well, they'll vote with their feet. Okay, well, what if they're not in class? What if they're in any other situation? So they're in the cafeteria with all of their friends. What happens if we let them have their phones in the cafeteria? They don't talk.
They don't talk to anybody.
They sit and stare at screens. They don't socialize. So does that mean that they're voting with their feet, that they hate their friends? No.
No.
They're just addicted. These apps and these phones are designed for addiction. They're not designed for productivity. I could list a million things my phone could do better if it was designed for productivity. Mm-hmm. And I like to use my phone for work. So, I spend a lot of time uninstalling and disabling stuff because by default, the thing is basically useless for work. I mean,
oh, yeah.
The amount of interruptions you get, right? Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
That is our bell.
It's very...
I'm at work today. I'm at work today.
So, yeah.
I think that's the issue. I mean, we let students... If I have a project and I need the kids to, like, use their phones, like, I have some drones that you can program and control, and it's easier to fly them with a phone than with an iPad. So if it's drone day, you can bring your phone.
Yeah.
That's fine. But it's not, it's not really fair. I mean, what would happen if in high schools, like when we were in high school, what would happen if in the cafeteria they had unlimited soft drinks instead of just milk, juice, water, and healthy stuff? What would happen?
They would drink the soft drinks. But, I mean, almost not everybody, but I would say a vast majority would keep getting soft drinks over and over. Some people might not even bring food. There's like, I'm just going to, I got lunch money. I'm going to save it for something else. And I'm just going to drink soda for lunch.
And it's really that simple. It's that addictive.
Yeah.
And so until you've seen it, and like, I think one good thing about being in Asia is you get to see all of this stuff in a large group of people. So on subways, you get to see them in public. When you go out to an Asian city, like if you go out in Seoul or Shanghai and you just go to a single town, like square, just a little square close to a subway station, you'll see like tens of thousands of people in a very short amount of time, and you can watch behavior and see how they interact. And more mobile devices is more people looking down, less people talking and interacting with each other. I also think a lot more angry people. As soon as they're interrupted, they get really angry. They're mm-hmm. startled.
Yeah,
it's like, well, I'm outside around people. And that's the issue, and that's the main issue. It's not that students are going to vote with their feet. Most of my students, like if I let them have their phone out, they would still be listening in class and trying to ask questions, but they would be distracted and looking down at their phone.
Yeah.
And then 10 minutes after talking about something with them, they would ask me about it again and say that they forgot. And that's what I'm finding. And then just like that kid, like, okay, well, you were on Facebook for a long time yesterday. What was the main, what were you guys getting into? Like, not everything they're doing is like illegal, it's like, they have normal stuff. It's like, what was the news? What's the big thing everyone's talking about in Korea? Oh, I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah.
And I believe that. I believe it.
Yeah, and I got a couple other logs that I want to throw in this woodpile here. So let's say you're at a school and you can't afford a device. Like the school is just, they don't have Chromebooks, they don't have iPads, they don't have laptop carts. And you're like, you encourage students to bring in. What's going to happen when you just say, hey, our devices are going to be students? Tony, what will happen with that? What do you think? Like our device. Yeah, go ahead.
They're just going to bring in like whatever they want.
Yeah, yeah. So you're going to have some kids who will bring in an iPad. You'll have some kids that will bring in an iPhone 10. And then you have some kids who will bring in an iPod Touch. Or like from 5 years ago.
There's no way to level the field.
No. And now you have inequality, great inequality within the classroom. You have some phones that are super fast and will do fine. And then you have other phones that, they connect. Like I have an iPhone 6. It's a few years old, and it is definitely significantly slower to any new Android phone on the market today, any new iPhone on the market today. It would put me at a disadvantage for sure.
Right.
And then if it broke and I couldn't, and I didn't have money to get a new one or replace it, now I'm at a severe disadvantage. And so these people I think are welcoming and bringing inequality into the classroom, which is a real issue for me at least.
I mean, yeah. And I mean, I think the most that you can do if you don't have anything at your school is, you know, plan so that you don't need extra stuff, whatever. If you can't write grants, you know, then your next best bet is to see if there's something off campus that you can move the students to give them a good experience, like some type of like, you know, STEM lab or STEM makerspace or something, a public library that's got a lot of resources.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be more fair.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody would have access to the same resources at the same time, being able to do the same amount of work. And I don't know. I don't like this. Another thing is, if let's say you let students use their cell phones and they're engaged, and what happens when a text comes through? I mean, do they completely? No, they look at the text and might even fire off a quick text back, and they're like, "Hey, well, that was only 30 seconds. What's the harm?" And but that's a distraction. That's an interruption of their work. That's an interruption of their workflow and their thoughts. And I mean those things add up.
Like students fact checking you. I heard this. Teachers don't want to be fact checked.
Yeah, and
fact checked against what? Against what facts? Like, you either have a textbook that you're giving the students, and it's like, you know, I just looked online and it said this textbook is wrong. As a teacher, you say, I understand that, and maybe the textbook is wrong, but we have two options. We can use this material and believe that most of it is correct, and I'm going to test you on it, or you can spend every night for the next 3 weeks for homework, not just finding things that you think are wrong, but proving back to the class that they are definitely wrong. Like, I don't think that happens too often unless somebody is giving some kind of lecture that is opinion based. Like, I usually have online articles and stuff for the students to use. So I've already fact checked it. You know, we're on the internet looking at the material. So I don't know. And if they already have internet access, why are you even giving the students material anyway?
Yeah.
Why don't you say, in the textbook, we're supposed to talk about, I don't know, the Battle of the Somme. So I want everybody to prepare like some research, do your own research. We're going to put the research all together in class, find the facts, compare it to the textbook, see what we can learn. That's totally fine.
Yeah.
I don't like who's standing up there. Like, when I was in Germany in 1965, this building was there, and they're like, no, it wasn't. And you can't prove it. Like, I don't know. I don't know what this is. It elementary school where the elementary school has got like a really watered down version of history, and the students are like, that's not true.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think that this is anyway. I don't know. I like Joel's comment here, and it's really short, so I'll read it. It says, teachers that ban phones don't, (1) understand the value and educational potential of technology. 2) understand the students and what motivates them. Tony, I think we have a pretty good handle on what educational potential of technology is. And if I have a choice, we don't use cell phones. We actually use laptops.
And anybody who's like tried phones for a long period of time, like a year or 2 years, which I have, like, worked with different age groups, done everything I could. Like, even kids bringing their own iPads to the school, it's the same problem. The apps for the iPad,
yep,
majority of them are for entertainment. They're for entertainment.
They are. They are. And then if you have Android and iOS, well, they sure, a lot of those apps are the same on both platforms, though the iOS apps tend to be a little bit better for some of them. But not all Android apps are on iOS, and not all iOS apps are on Android.
You know? Yeah, I always like to laugh at people who like get a BrainPop subscription because they have iPads at their school and they don't realize there's no BrainPop app except for like just BrainPop movies of the week.
Yep.
So,
and BrainPop does not work on the iPad because of Flash.
Yeah, and then all the content requires a browser that they don't have, and they would all need laptops, and none of their iPads can use it. Like, this kind of stuff happens all the time. So I think we definitely understand it. We've seen, I think, working overseas and going to conferences, you're exposed to a lot more than you're exposed to in the United States.
Agreed.
Like,
agreed.
You see so many like examples in a year. Like, it's hard to explain, but. So, yeah, I think we've beaten this topic down.
I think we have. I think we now we're going to a different topic. It's just a better topic. The new Raspberry Pi B is on sale. I believe it's on sale. I believe you can get it right now. I think I got it up here. Yep, now on sale for $35. And Tony, it's got a faster processor. It has dual band wireless, which is great. You know what doesn't have dual band wireless? My PlayStation 4. Do you know? It's so annoying.
What?
I don't know why, but it doesn't. It only does 2.4 gigahertz. I can't join to a 5 gigahertz. Luckily, my router is dual band, right? Because I thought, well, I almost got just a 5 gigahertz router, but I was like, you know what? This maybe I can have two separate networks, you know, maybe one for guests or something. Yeah, I'm glad I did that. And because if not, my. Anyway. So this can do what my PlayStation cannot. It has. Gigabit Ethernet and upgraded Bluetooth 4.2. It's just, you know, basically it's a $35 computer. You just have to get a mouse, keyboard, and screen to plug into it. And it is a functioning computer for the most part. And
okay.
It's just awesome. I think they're pretty cool. You can do lots and lots of things with them. You know, get a breadboard in there, and then you can interact with some other devices such as buttons and lights and other sensors, and so heck, they even have a fan that you can put on it that you can buy.
That's it. I think in general the Raspberry Pi kits have always they keep getting better, and I think they're good. If people are going to get into having kids build stuff and program it, it's a good way to go. The kits are nice; they're organized for you.
Mm-hmm. They're
color coded. Boards are color coded. That helps a lot. More than you think. If you've got like 15, 20 kids, even if they're working in teams, like seven teams of two, it's a lot to like walk around the classroom. You need to make it faster for the students to like know what's going on.
Yeah, and there's and what's nice about the Raspberry Pi is that there are plenty of online resources out there for it. You know, you have some super complicated projects, but then you have far, far, far simpler projects where it's a, you know, it turn, you can make it turn on a light or send an email automated, or maybe you just want to use it. I know a guy who put it into kind of like a casing. You can put it into a laptop casing, and he gave it to his son, and his son, that's his son's computer. You know, he's got you know, LibreOffice on it, so he's got a full functioning office suite, and he can print on it, and he can get online, and that's his kid's computer, so which is kind of cool. You know, he knows his kid's not going to game on it because he can't game really, and yeah, it's kind of neat. I like it.
Also has power over Ethernet, so like,
oh yeah,
if you've got, you know, some PoE switches, you don't need to plug the Raspberry Pi in to a power source to, so you can network it and keep it powered, and that means you can install it places. Like, the kids could actually build, like, a little smart home in the classroom or something. I think there's a lot of options.
Yeah, yeah. It's really cool. Myself, I've only played a little bit with Raspberry Pi. I can't say that I'm an expert. I certainly couldn't write curriculum on it. But I've seen some really, really, really neat things. I saw a workshop this summer where a guy had the kids using Python and a Raspberry Pi make their own Simon game, you know, with the four colors. And it, you know, and that's what they had colors and sounds, and only a couple of the kids got it to actually work properly. But it was really neat, you know. It was really kind of cool to see them do that. So, and they worked on that a whole, like, for 5 days. That's pretty much what they worked on for most of the 5 days. So it was really kind of cool. It was really neat. So, yeah, I like it. I like it. I think I may play with one eventually soon, sometime, to see what I can do with it. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, and it's a low-cost experimentation.
It is.
And then when you do that, let me know how easy it is to connect it to an Apple and if all the drivers are available that you need. Well, I don't have Raspberry Pi here in Korea, but I've got some Arduino boards, and it's just been a nightmare with Apple drivers, and to the point where we actually have 4 Windows computers in the Steam Lab to do all the work. So it's just easier, and it's annoying. And there, you know, it'll be like, oh, we support, you know, like, this works on Apple, but then you get into it, and it's like, well, it worked, like, on a version of Apple 6 months ago. It doesn't work anymore. You've got to patch this. You have to do that. It's just, I can't really explain it, but it's just all over the board. It's like one problem after the other with these different laptops. Like, I've had some kids who had, like, a MacBook Touch touch bar, and they didn't even seem to recognize it no matter what we did. And I'm like, what is so different? Like, I don't understand. And you just want to use it, right? Like, you're in school. Like, you just got middle school kids. I'm not going to have them, like, customize their Apple or do anything like that. I just want them to plug it in and go.
Yeah.
And it's stupid because the Arduino programming environment, the base, the kind of generic one, they've got a website that you can use. It's great. You don't have to install any software. And on Windows, it's great. You just connect either Bluetooth or with a cable. You go on this web page, make an account, and you can program it from the web page.
Oh, that's really cool.
And I'm sitting here in my Apple, and it's like, if you're on Apple, you might want to consider downloading the older software. I'm like, this is going crazy with some of this stuff. I've got quite a few of these, like, Arduino kits too. They're robots that have these Arduino boards. So I'm getting another 7 in next week to test with Apple. Apparently these ones have some software that definitely works with Apple because the software is built on Scratch.
Yeah,
I'm hoping that works. And then people are like, yeah, but you can use the iPad. You can use the iPad and program it through, like, Bluetooth. That actually does usually work, but I can't tell you how annoying it is if, A, you don't have a classroom set of iPads, and, B, even if I do, like, so I've got, like, 6 iPads. Bluetooth pairing 6 iPads to 6 Arduino boards in the same classroom is pretty annoying.
Yeah. I could see you running into problems.
They jump on each other's boards all the time. So you've got to be smart, do it in a sequence. So I don't know. I'm not mad at Raspberry Pi or Arduino. I'm just annoyed with Apple. Like, I know this is all supposed to be open source volunteer stuff, but for some reason it seems to be getting harder for people to write these drivers.
I don't know why that is. I really don't. I don't know. I don't have an explanation. No explanation at all.
Yeah.
But I feel your pain. Yeah. I feel it.
And maybe Omar will do it when he's...
Yeah, he has some Arduino boards, some older ones. I don't know if he's using them or not, but he's got some in the classroom. I don't know. Maybe he has some insight.
I think that's what he uses to power the online store, Omar.com. Where you can buy quality fabrics from around the world.
That's right. That is right. Oh, I don't think we have anything else, Tony. Do you have any other topics you want to throw on out there? Or are we done for the night or for the morning for you?
I think we're done, and I can't wait for the official episode 150.
All right. Okay. Well, for IT Babble, I'm Patrick.
And I'm Tony.
And we will catch you on episode 150.